From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This podcast is being recorded on October 15th, 2019. I've chosen three articles that illustrate different aspects of practice for you today. One of them looks at the potential value of coronary CTA in improving outcomes in patients with stable chest pain. A paper looking at the relative osteoporotic fracture risks of patients either taking warfarin or the direct oral anticoagulants. And lastly, an article looking at whether there's evidence of mortality increase with the use of paclitaxel-based devices in peripheral arterial PTA. So these are three interesting papers for us to examine. So let's start with the Scott Hart analysis. From the open-label Scott Hart trial, about over 4,000 individuals with stable chest pain had been randomized to usual care or coronary CTA with usual care. And the rates of various adverse events, including coronary heart disease death or non-fatal MI, were examined. This particular analysis stratified those groups into various cohorts: non-anginal chest pain, possible angina, or prior coronary heart disease. In patients where the final diagnosis was negative for angina, CTA was associated with reduced adverse event rates. Following testing, 6% in the usual care arm had antiplatelet or statin medication change as well. 23% had them in the CTA arm. There was no difference in the use of medications at baseline between the groups, but the CTA group had significantly increased use of both antiplatelet therapy and statins at follow-up each year up to 5 years. And the largest increases in medication changes were noted in patients with non-anginal chest pain or possible angina. And in the CTA arm, the rates of revascularization were higher in the initial year, but lower after 1 year. And the authors concluded that the reduced rate of events was noted in the randomized group to CTA across the chest pain groups, and it's consistent with the notion that increases in antiplatelet and statin therapy in patients with relatively underdiagnosed coronary heart disease may contribute to that phenomenon. Until recently, there was, not a lot of evidence demonstrating the value of CTA on patient outcomes, but the Scott Hart trial really does suggest that in finding disease, and particularly sometimes subclinical disease, that perhaps the changes in medical therapy are leading to some of this benefit. Also, obviously, revascularization was more common in the first year, and this too may have had an impact. I know this is just one trial, but I think it's very interesting that in patients where we're faced with stable chest pain, there's some uncertainty as to the diagnosis. It does appear that imaging can have value in affecting medical therapy, maybe affecting preventive therapy, and occasionally even coronary revascularization. Let's now move to a second paper, which was published in JACC this past week, looking at the frequency of osteoporotic fractures in patients with atrial fibrillation treated either with conventional versus direct anticoagulation. And the authors used the Danish National Registry, and patients with atrial fibrillation were identified, and they were grouped into two cohorts based on anticoagulation use, either a vitamin K antagonists or direct oral anticoagulants. Patients, obviously, who'd had a previous osteoporosis medication or previous fracture of any type were excluded. There were over 37,000 patients in the study. They looked at standardized two-year risk of any fracture among the DOAC-treated patients versus the VKA-treated patients. And it was lower in the DOAC group, 3.1% versus 3.8%, or a hazard ratio of 0.85. The risk of osteoporotic fracture and initiating osteoporosis medication was also lower in the DOAC group. And the authors concluded that the absolute risk of osteoporotic fractures and the initiation of medications to treat osteoporosis looked to be lower in patients with AFib treated with DOAC versus VKA. The perspective here, chronic use of vitamin K antagonists has long been associated with a small but increased risk of osteoporosis and osteoporotic fractures. And it's thought that this is due to a direct link between these agents and undercarboxylated osteocalcin, which is associated with bone mineral density. And in this particular study, it certainly was plausible and suggestive that DOAC medications may inhibit the clotting cascade through mechanisms independent of protein carboxylation. So, in addition to the other benefits of DOAC therapy, including a lower risk of intracranial hemorrhage and more consistent dosing, the potential of a lower risk of osteoporotic fracture may further tilt the balance toward DOACs, particularly in elderly individuals where these types of complications can be devastating. Nice article, and I recommend it to you. And then the last article today I wanted to talk about was about this controversy of the use of paclitaxel stents in peripheral arterial disease therapies. And as you may remember, there was a meta-analysis not long ago which just suggested that paclitaxel-based drug-eluting devices might have a higher risk of cardiovascular complications, including mortality, in patients having peripheral artery intervention. This study looked at a claims analysis of 9.2 million patients in Germany in a health insurance plan called Barmer. The 9.2 million insurance were examined, and data on the application of paclitaxel-based drug-eluting stents and drug-coated balloons were retrieved from the database from 2007 until present. And the patients who had a first endovascular revascularization between 2007 and 2015 were then indexed and followed until 2017. And the investigators looked at the use of the drug-eluting stent versus the drug-coated balloon, bare metal stent, and uncoated balloon, and looked at the outcomes. Their particular interest was mortality. So there were over 100,000 endovascular procedures, including 23,000 which used a drug-eluting device. And in the multivariate Cox regression analysis, paclitaxel-based drug-eluting stent was not found to be associated with increased long-term mortality over 11 years after application. Drug-coated balloons were associated with a decreased long-term mortality for the first year after application and indifferent thereafter. The authors concluded from this very complicated but large database analysis that there was no evidence of an increased mortality associated with paclitaxel-based drug-eluting devices over a period of 11 years. Obviously, any kinds of analysis using claims can be difficult, but given the limitations, this is a very interesting paper. You may recall that on August 7, 2019, the FDA provided recommendations for clinicians and the use of paclitaxel-based devices in the periphery. And it suggests that physicians should discuss the risks and benefits of all the available PAD treatment options with patients, and that certainly alternative treatment options to the paclitaxel-coated devices should be provided. And there are certain patients where the paclitaxel-based stent or balloon should probably be continued, where the benefit is thought to outweigh the risk. This analysis certainly suggests that perhaps some of this prior reporting may have been not necessarily completely accurate. We're not sure, but I think this is another paper that adds to the area of knowledge in this very complex field of peripheral arterial treatment. So it's been my pleasure to provide you the Eagle's Eye View podcast this week. I want to thank you for listening. You can also find a new educational catalog on acc.org. It's under the Education and Meetings tab. And using this tool, you can sort our educational offerings by various formats. And of course, many of these are free. And you can find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And look forward to talking to you again next week. I hope you have a good one. Thank you.